भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवती
उत्तम
श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय वृन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् Chapter 4, Chapter 15. And we can pull out our phones and take this verse. Chapter 15, King Prithu's appearance and coronation, text 23. Tasma parokshe smat upashtanyalam. करिष्यथा स्तोत्रम् अपि च वाचः सत्यत्वं सत्युत्तम श्लोकगुणानुवादे जुगुप्सितं न स्तवयन्ति सभयः तस्मात् परोक्षे स्मत् उपश्रुतान्यलम् करिष्यता स्तोत्रम् अपि च वाचः सत्योत्तम श्लोकगुणानुवादे जुगुप्सितं न स्तवयन्ति सभ्यः तस्मात् परोक्षे स्मत् उपश्रुतान्यलम् करिष्यता स्तोत्रमपि च वाचः सत्योत्तम श्लोकगुणानुवादे जिगुप्सितं न स्तवयन्ति सव्यः
तस्मात् परोक्षे
अस्मत् उपाश्रुतान्यलम् जुगुप्सितं न स्तवयन्ति सभ्यः
तस्मात् परोक्षे
अस्मत् उपाश्रुतान्यलम् करिष्यता स्तोत्रमपि च वाचः सत्योत्तम श्लोकगुणानुवादे जुगुप्सितं न स्तवयन्ति सभ्यः तस्मात् परोक्षे अस्मत् उपाश्रुतान्यलम् करिष्यता स्तोत्रमपि च वाचः सत्योत्तम श्लोकगुणानुवादे जुगुप्सितं न स्तवयन्ति सभ्यः वर्ड टू वर्ड तस्मात् देयरफोर परोक्षे In some future time. Asmat. Mind. Upashrutani. About the qualities spoken of. Alam. Sufficiently. Karishyatha. You will be able to offer. Stotram. Prayers. Api. Apichya vachaha. O gentle reciter,
Sati,
being the proper engagement,
Uttama
Shloka,
Uttama
of the personality of Godhead, Gunan, of the qualities, Anuvade, discussion, Jurupsitam, to an abominable person. No, never. Satyanti, sorry, Stavayanti, offer prayers. Sabhyaha, persons who are gentle. Translational purpose by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki. Translation. O gentle reciters, offer such prayers in due course of time, when the qualities of which you have spoken actually manifest themselves in me. The gentle who offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not attribute such qualities to a human being who does not actually have them. Gentle devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead know perfectly well who is God and who is not. Non-devotee impersonalists, however, who have no idea what God is and who never offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always interested in accepting a human being as God and offering such prayers to Him. This is the difference between a devotee and a demon. Demons manufacture their own gods, or a demon himself claims to be God, following in the footsteps of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. Although Prithu Maharaj was factually an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he rejected those praises because the qualities of the Supreme Person were not yet manifest in him. He wanted to stress that one who does not actually possess these qualities should not try to engage his followers and devotees in offering him glory for them, even though these qualities might be manifest in the future. If a man who does not factually possess the attributes of a great personality engages his followers in praising him with the expectation that such attributes will develop in the future, that sort of praise is actually an insult. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sargana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parishanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sargana Lalita Shri Vishakamvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Acharyani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauradvishe Namaha Ye Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhiramandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyesha Kripa Sindhubhyeh Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandunam Ghayate Girim Yatripadham Mande Shri Gurum Dinatarivam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So welcome everyone for the Sunday feast class. We all can come forward. It's too much of space. Come forward. Those who have back pain can be behind, but those who can, come forward. Yeah. Thank you. So today's shloka, it talks about glorification. We have been discussing about Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is the son of King Vena. And King Vena is the son of King Anga. So King Angad was a very, very amazing king, very pious. But King Vena was a rogue. And the Brahmanas killed the King Vena because he was really creating a lot of ruckus in the entire place. And after killing King Vena, they churned the body of King Vena and Prithu Maharaj and his consort. They were brought out from the body. Now, as soon as Prithu Maharaj appeared, all Devi Devtas know very well that he is the Shakyavesh avatar of the Lord. And as soon as they understood this, all the Devi Devtas are coming and they're offering prayers to Prithu Maharaj. Now, when Prithu Maharaj is offered all these prayers, so Prithu Maharaj is saying that, look, till now I've not done any activity. I've not manifested any quality. Why are you praising me like this? So this is the discussion that is going on. So we'll just talk about various aspects of glorification. And then we'll talk about various aspects of subtle lust. Then we'll talk about various subtler aspects which are hindering our progress in bhakti. And if time permits, at the end, we'll also glorify Lord Krishna. Yes? First, whom to glorify? This is a very important question that we have to answer to ourselves. Whom to glorify? Anyone who has better qualities than us, anyone who is better than us in any aspect of life, doesn't matter, you have to glorify them. There's one very nice shloka in 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th chapter, 34th verse. You can repeat after me. Gunadhikan udamritse anukrosham gunatama maitrik samanat anvichen nata vairati guyate. So this says, guna adhika, anyone who has qualities greater than us, guna adhika, what are we supposed to do? Udamritse, be happy looking at that person, don't envy. And now when we are happy, obviously we will speak some kind words about that person. So what to do about the other two? The ones who are lower than us and the ones who are equal to us. Anukrosha guna adhama. So guna adhama, people who have less qualities than us. What are we supposed to do? Anukrosha. Have compassion on them. Now, the ones who are equals, what are we supposed to do? Maitrim samanat anvichin. Have nice friendship with them. So, one important aspect which I was meditating on this, the friendship aspect. So, if two people are friends, and if we are trying to prove that I am better than you, that friendship cannot stay for long. Yes? So, it's a very, very important aspect. Sometimes devotees ask this question, that Prabhu, equals are needed in life. Obviously, equals are needed. Because you cannot go and share your heart with your seniors, nor with your juniors. You will not share with seniors because you think that what will Prabhu will think if I share this? And the juniors you cannot share because you are senior. Yes. So only people whom you can share with are equals. And when we really want to maintain that relationship, that's very important. Not to prove oneself better than others, better than that person. And when we deal like this with these three categories of people, na taapaya abhibhulya. So it means that there will be no tapatraya, there will be no problems. Because most of the problems comes with people only. So if you know how to deal with these three categories of people, that is superiors, equals and juniors, automatically our life will be very easy. So whom to glorify? Guna adhika. The ones who have greater qualities than us. Now another question is, why to glorify? Why to glorify? Just by glorifying someone, some particular quality which we like in that person, there's a high probability that that quality will manifest in us also with time. So, this is seen that even if that person is a rowdy, a rogue, there will be some quality, some good quality to be there. If we can just point, if we can just glorify that quality in every single living entity, automatically we will see that those qualities will manifest in us. Now, vice versa, even that is applicable. If we try to find faults, so congratulations. Already so many anarthas are there, those will also manifest more. Now the next question is how to glorify. Now we understood whom to glorify, why to glorify, how to glorify. Now I have to glorify according to the level of the person. So I was giving exclusive class on how to glorify in a leadership session. So there we were discussing this. So suppose a newcomer is there in the center and he is doing some service. maybe cleaning service. He has picked up some papers and has put in the dustbin. Now we have been told that we have to glorify that person. This is what we have learned in leadership session, that we have to glorify that person. Now we go ahead to that person and we start glorifying. Thank you so much. Thank you so much is a good line. But after that, thank you so much. Only because of you, the entire restaurant is maintained and it is clean. Thank you very much. Without you, I don't think how this program would have worked. Now, when we glorify like this, over glorification, what is that? Obviously blasphemy. That person will feel, what's wrong? In fact, many people have come and asked this question. So why devotees glorify like this? Are they trying to taunt or are they trying to point out something, some fault in me? Yes. Some devotees have come and asked this question, the newcomers. So the glorification should be according to the level of people. Bhagavad Gita Krishna makes it very clear. Please repeat. Vidyavine
sampanne.
Vidyavine sampanne. Brahmane gavihaste.
Brahmane gavihaste.
Shuni chaiva
svapake
cha.
Shuni chaiva svapake cha.
Pandita samadarshinam.
Pandita samadarshinam.
Vidyavine sampanne. Who is humble? Who has knowledge? That is taught here. The one who knows very well how to treat people according to their level. Now suppose someone is superior, we have to treat them as superiors. Someone is equal, we have to treat them as equal. Someone is junior, we have to treat them as juniors. Like for example, someone is a junior and you go and ask this question. Bro, I'm suffering a lot in my life, can you please give some solution? Now he has a question mark on the face. Now what happened to him? So here it is very clearly mentioned that we have to treat people equally. Brahmane, as Brahmana, Gavi, cow, Hastini, elephant, then Shuni, Shuni, dog, Sopakeja, dog eater. Now it is said that treat them equally. What do you mean by treat them equally? Is it that you have to go and embrace each one of them? You go and embrace a tiger, a cow. Obviously it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By whom? No, when he started singing Janikanda forest, elephants and deers and tigers, everyone are embracing each other. So obviously that is not our case. So what are we supposed to do? Equal means what? Give equal opportunity to progress in bhakti. This is what it means. So now, the main point that we are understanding here is, according to the level of person we have to treat them, even the glorification should be offered accordingly. And that is not done, that is a problem. Even under glorification is a problem. Suppose a devotee is a very senior devotee. He chants 32 rounds every day. And then we go and glorify him. Now, Prabhu, I have heard you chant more than one round. That's very nice. Yes. So, that will be an insult. That will be an insult. Right? So, under glorification, over glorification, both are problem. So, a devotee has to learn this very nicely. How to glorify. How to glorify. And Bhagavatam is that book which teaches us everything. Especially this particular aspect of how to glorify. Whenever the devotees get chance, we should see how in Bhagavatam all the devotees glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His pure devotees. Now the question is, glorification only is okay when we glorify others, but what about when people glorify us? How a devotee takes it? How a devotee takes it? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he writes a very nice song. Maybe you can pull out this song, Dushta Manan. Dushtam. We'll just sing the first two verses. Dushtam. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes, ready?
Dushtamana tumi kesara vaishnava dushtamana. Dushtamana tumi kesara vaishnava pratishthatare nirjanadare pratishthatare nirjanadare tam hari nama kevala kaitama
So here, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasthakur is saying that Dushta Mana, oh mind, you're so Dushta, you're so wicked. How can you call yourself as Vaishnav? You are chanting in seclusion, but you're not chanting for the pleasure of Krishna, but you're actually chanting to get glorification from others, where devotees will see and say, oh, such a pure devotee chanting so nicely. Then he says,
Jaya Krishna, Shukare Krishna,
Jaya Krishna, Shukare Krishna,
Jaya Krishna, Shukare Krishna,
Jaya Krishna, Shukare Krishna,
Jano Nakita
Maya Vaibhava,
Jano na kita na maya vaibhava,
Jano na kita
na maya vaibhava, Kana kani
divasayami,
Kana kani divasayami, Bhaviya ki kaj anitya se sama,
Bhaviya ki kaj
anitya se sama,
Jadera Pratishna, Shukarera Vishna. How a devotee takes glorification to himself? Shukarera Vishna. Shukar means? Huh? Hook, hog, big. Vishna means tool. So, when a devotee is glorified, a devotee takes that glorification like the stool of a hog. Now you can just imagine how abominable the stool of a hog is. So he thinks, what this glorification is, where this glorification will take me? And he's telling this note to his mind. So Saraswati Thakur is very mercifully giving us how to take glorification to oneself. Now, even if we hear all these things, hankering for name, fame, prestige will always be there in the heart. Satavas will be there. Even if we say that it is the stool of a hog or a stool of a worm or whatever it is, I need that. Why? Why this hankering is there for satavas? Or why there is hankering for name, fame, prestige or pujala pratishtha? One of the important aspects is that is there because there is a lot of hollowness in the heart. Lot of hollowness in the heart. So the hollowness has to be filled with something. And at that we try to fill it with all these things. That's satalas, pujala, pratishtha. And Krishna is talking about this. That this hollowness is created because there is no higher taste. Only when the person gets higher taste, this hollowness will be filled and the person will not hanker for these pujala, pratishtha, which Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is calling as stool of a hog. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita 2:59. Please repeat.
Vishayamini vartante.
Nirahasya
dehina.
Rasavarjam
rasopyasya.
Param drishmani vartate.
Very simple solution which Krishna is giving is this lower taste of subtle lust can be removed easily and the person gets higher taste. No, it's very easy to talk about higher taste and things like that. The only higher taste we know is some restaurant. Yes, where we literally taste something. But then when it comes to higher taste, it's very difficult to understand how to get it. Let's try to discuss that today. And also along with that, in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is also mentioning about other subtler aspects. So subtle lust is one subtler aspect which we are stuck in. There are a few more subtler aspects which Jiva Goswami is giving in Bhakti Sandarbha. So I came across these five of them, very important. So these are the five effects of the offenses that we commit, especially Namaparadha. The first one, he says, is Kautilya. Kautilya means crookedness. So it's like, externally we are offering respect, but internally we are actually disrespectful. Kautilya, duplicity. Now just imagine, we are glorifying someone, glorifying some devotee. You are a very good singer and you are glorifying another singer. Prabhu, such an amazing kirtan it was. Wonderful kirtan. That tune which you sang was very nice. But internally maybe there will be some. If I would have been given a chance, I think I would have done better. So glorification, externally something and internally something else? Duplicity. Suppose someone is glorifying us externally. No Prabhu. I don't deserve all this. I don't deserve all this. And then the mind is saying, or we are saying, ये भाई है आगे कहवा दिस इज ओके टेल मी मोर यस सो दिस इज ड्यूप्लिसिटी दिस इज स्टूपिडनेस एंड प्रभुपाद वाज वेरी वेरी हेवी ऑन दिस वेरी हेवी प्रभुपाद नेवर लाइक ड्यूप्लिसिटी वंस ऑन प्रभुपाद डिसाइडेड ही वांटेड सूटकेस ऑफ प्रभुपाद दिस अ वेरी नाइस स्मॉल सूटकेस ही गॉट अ बिग सूटकेस नो प्रभुपाद डिसाइडेड. And he said that he was thinking, if I give this, then Prabhupada will give me the other one, the small one. He went with that motive, then he gave the suitcase. See, Prabhupada is a pure devotee, he understands what the person is thinking. He gave the big suitcase to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, oh, thank you very much. He took the big suitcase, he opened the big suitcase, put the small suitcase and he closed it. And then Prabhupada looked at his disciple and he said, you want this suitcase? Then he said, why so much of crookedness? Why aren't you straightforward? So this straightforward, becoming straightforward and becoming simple is a very, very important aspect of a devotee's life. Now, we see that this duplicity or wearing different colored mask or different shapes of mask or whatever is because of our dealings that we're doing outside. Every place we go, there's a different mask that we wear, if we properly analyze. Office we go, there's a different mask altogether. We are very cool there. Yes. Very cool. And then when we come in devotee association, oh, there's no pure devotee except us. So, different masks we are wearing, but it's very difficult to understand who we are. When Mataji was coming to the Gita course, which we did in January 13 when we started, so she told me that I left my job, very high paying job. I said, what happened? So she was sharing that one day I was sitting in front of the mirror and I was not able to find myself. I was totally changed. There was a mask which I was not able to remove. I had become totally Western. Totally Western, wearing Western clothes. And the dealings also, my speech, everything had changed. There was a different mask altogether. Krishna said, doesn't like this duplicity. He likes simplicity. In fact, he makes it very clear in 10th canto. When Lord Krishna appears to Devaki and Vasudev, he is telling Devaki and Vasudev why he has appeared to him, why he has appeared to them. And in that he makes a statement that I agreed to appear to you both when you are doing great tapasya as Krishna and Sutapa because I am very much attracted by your simplicity and other good qualities. Prabhupada writes simplicity and other good qualities. You see how much importance is given to this simplicity. And it is seen that devotees were simple, it's very easy for them to do bhakti. I'm very much envious of such devotees. Very much envious. Because when a person is very simple, you can see that bliss on a person's face. Especially when the person is hearing a class or doing kirtan or doing japa. Literally there's a bliss on the face. Because there's no duplicity. Whatever is there, that is there in front. And those people who speak, when simple people, when they speak, even if that is offensive, no one will take any offense. No one will take any offense. So this is a very wonderful thing, which we see, that when we are committing offenses, the first thing that creeps in is Kautilya, or crookedness. Just imagine how subtle this is. How subtle. Maybe sometimes we will not get to know that we are not simple, we are not straightforward. But what is the solution for this then? Nothing. Solution is like consciously trying to be straightforward. Consciously. And avoiding duplicity wherever possible. Wherever possible. So whenever I make the statement of simplicity, then people ask, so what about when you are working in project, in the office team, you have to deal with the team and their duplicate nature is needed, etc., etc. You manage that. But the important thing is this, this is what is needed. Simplicity is needed, right? The first one is Kautilya or crookedness. The second one that Jiva Goswami is mentioning is Ashraddha or faithlessness. Ashraddha, faithlessness. What happens is, when people commit more and more offense, devotees commit more and more offense, especially Nama Prad, the faith goes on decreasing. And this is seen that the lack of conviction in the devotees, it is seen that this lack of conviction, when they see that other devotees are suffering, especially in Bhagavatam. You see, when we hear from Bhagavatam, no devotee was peaceful. No devotee. Starting from Devaki Vasudeva. When, before Krishna appeared, Devaki Vasudeva were very happy. You see, how happy they were in their marriage. How amazing the description of marriage that is given. Devaki was dressed so nicely, there was such a wonderful smile on her face. And Vasudeva was, you know, so happy. And both of them sat on the chariot. In fact, Krishna didn't appear. There was a prophecy that Krishna will appear and that made their life miserable. So there's a prophecy that all of us will become devotees. So, so Krishna will come in our life, or he has already come. So when we hear all this, let's take more examples. Like we have Devaki and Vasudev, then we have the Pandavas. Pandavas, how miserable they were throughout. Draupadi, Vastraharan, and then poisoning, and then, you know, putting fire on the house, and so on and so forth. And that Kunti Maharani is praying, give me more suffering. One of my friend used to chant every day Kunti Maharani's prayers. Every day. And then he was facing a lot of problems. And he was not getting job. So we all were placed. This was in my final year. We all were placed. And only that devotee was not placed. And all means even every student was placed. And this devotee was a distinction holder. He is not getting placed. He appeared for some 30 companies not getting placed. Every day reciting Kunti Maharani prayer. One day he said, oh, I'm stopping this. Maybe because of the thing is coming. Literally he stopped. In fact, it went to such an extent that he was saying, oh, I think Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also a problem. I think I should stop this also. Somehow I was convincing him that no, Prabhu, please continue. Then now it's reduced. Then I was telling him, Prabhu, no, please continue. But then he was facing so much, that so much of problem is he was not getting a job. That's it. So he was not getting a job, and then after some time he stopped chanting, and then over phone he said, Prabhu, I've stopped chanting. Then now he's expecting that I'll convince him and things like that. I got frustrated. I said, okay, very good. Very nice thing you've done. You're not getting a job here, and anyways, you'll be stuck in cycle of 1 minute. Go ahead. Go ahead, don't chant. Yes. Obviously, you know, he got a job later, and now he chants every day 20-25 hours. Easily. So when we see that these things are happening, then when we see that in devotees, like even when they're practicing bhakti so nicely, why is it they're facing so much of suffering? So maybe if you do bhakti, there will be a lot of suffering also. In fact, many of my relatives, they used to tell my mother, whenever my mother used to say that my son is doing Krishna bhakti, they should say, immediately remove him from there. We have heard anyone who does Krishna bhakti, a lot of problems come in their life. And maybe he'll go away from you. Something like that was told. And my mother, every time over phone, she'll just be in anxiety. She'll say, this relative he met, he also said this. Or that relative that day he had met, he also said this. And this fear is there in most of the people. Whenever you talk about Krishna bhakti, many people have this. And this is the truth also. Whenever Krishna is very much favorable to a person, special favor is this, that it takes away everything, whatever the person has. But then one important thing we have to understand is that's a special favor. And that only special devotees will get. Not sadhakas like us. Very difficult. Very difficult. And Krishna will put tests only to those people who will be able to take that test. There's no question of fear. Now our problem is we think we are pure devotees and we'll get the special mercy. That is the problem. Nothing like that is going to happen. Yes. So in fact, Lord will give this test only to those people who are anchoring for this test. That please take away everything. In fact, devotees offer this prayer. Please take away everything. I don't want anything. I just want you. I just want to attain your lotus feet. When prayers are offered like that, Krishna, if he's pleased, you know, he'll bless. Right? So in this way, we see that when the faith reduces in the devotee, it becomes very difficult to practice bhakti. Very difficult. Recently, just 2 days back, one devotee had texted that Lord is not listening to my prayers, Prabhu. My marriage is fixed with a non-devotee.
Yes.
So now, okay, now what to do now? Marriage is fixed, means fixed. You cannot do anything. But there is no question of saying that Lord is not listening to my prayers. So this goes on to say that I don't have enough faith in Lord's plan. Right? In fact, regarding this, Adhidev Prabhu, when he had come, he was telling to our boys. So the people who are aspiring to Grihastashram, they are asking, Prabhu, what if you get married to a non-devotee? So he said that, Prabhu, if you marry with a devotee, you'll advance in bhakti. But if you marry a non-devotee, you'll advance faster. There's a lot of purification every single day, don't worry. Yes. So the important aspect that a devotee has to understand is we have to have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His plans. You see, in our day-to-day life, we have faith in every single person. Question to all the married Prabhujis. You have a fight with your wife, and next day, in the food, she'll mix poison and she'll give you. Will that happen? Will that happen? No. See, everyone is saying no. So much of faith. Mataji's not so married. After the fight, your husband is plotting. There's a plot to kill you. And he's sending some gundas. Will that happen? No. Sure. There's a possibility, no, but no possibility. For everyone, when you go to saloon, razor is here, isn't it? While shaving, the razor is here. But still you have complete faith, you not slit our throat, only clear the beard. When we sit on a flight, do we ever go to the pilot and ask this question, that surely you take me to Delhi only, right? If you're traveling to Delhi. But there is a possibility, you know, suppose, no, he's driving. I don't know what you call it as driving the flight? Flying the flight, yes. So he will, suppose something happens and he goes crazy. He takes you to a different direction. There's a possibility, right? You never know. Anything can happen. But then we have complete faith in the person that, no, I'll take me to the destination only. Right? So we have faith in people who are mortal beings around us, that these people will not do anything wrong to us. Then why don't we have faith in Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's ever well-wisher to everyone? Yes? Ever well-wisher. Never ever Krishna will think, see, Krishna is not a sadistic person. He put us in some situation and enjoy, ah, very nice. He has suffering, so nice. He has lots of other wonderful ways to enjoy. Wonderful ways to enjoy. He doesn't need to see us suffering and he will enjoy. Yes? So there is no question of not having faith in Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has wonderful plans for each and every person. And in fact, many of the times we see that when that situation goes away, now when we pass, after a few years, when we look back to that situation, we see that Lord has actually taught us so many things by giving that particular situation. Then at that particular time, why don't we have enough faith? Yes. You see, in the case of two famous personalities and my favorite personality session, Amrish Maharaj. You see, Amrish Maharaj, how much faith he had. How much faith? Durvasa Muni is creating a demon and he's sending to in front of Amrish Maharaj. And this demon is moving towards Amrish Maharaj. It's almost like a movie, you can imagine. Amrish Maharaj is standing and the fiery demon is moving towards Amrish Maharaj. And Amrish Maharaj is not taking a step back. Even one step back. And the fiery demon is just moving towards Amrish Maharaj. And finally, when devotee has so much of faith on the Lord, Lord comes in anxiety. Sudarshan Chakra was in anxiety. Sudarshan Chakra came there. And he killed. Sudarshan Chakra killed the fiery demon. You take the case of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj has so much of faith in the holy name. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anything happens, he was least bothered. And Lord was in anxiety how to save him. He was thrown from the cliff. Lord in anxiety, where he'll fall, let me catch him. So when we have complete faith in the Lord, Lord takes care of everything. Now why don't we have complete faith in the Lord? And when we don't have complete faith in the Lord, automatically our devotional service reduces. Automatically. Right? Then what is the solution for this? Do we have a solution to increase the faith? Simple. Stay with those people who have intense faith in Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we associate with those people, automatically faith comes. Because we see it. He's having faith in every single situation. Come what may. Let me follow in his footsteps. Right? So these two things Jiva Goswami is saying. First one, Kaudilya or crookedness. Second, Ashraddha or faithlessness. The next one he talks about is a very important and a very instructive point for all of us. Bhagwan Nishta Chavaka Vastu Antara Abhinivesh. He said that when the faith in the Lord reduces, Bhagwan Nishta Chavaka. So what happens? Vastu Antara Abhinivesh. The person gets totally absorbed in the sense objects. Totally get absorbed in different situations. Right? Now whatever objects we are absorbed in, that will decide the faith and bhakti towards the Lord. Will it increase or will it decrease? If we are absorbed in the spiritual aspects, automatically our faith will increase, our devotional or our bhakti will increase. Right? And if suppose we are absorbed totally in the material aspects of life, we will be so absorbed that we will forget about doing devotional service. Very famous example is Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj went to forest to do what? To do bhakti and do tapasya. So when he was completely absorbed in the holy name and the deity worship that he was doing, he was relishing and his bhakti was increasing. In fact, it is given that he came to the stage of bhava by his baptism. But then, when he got absorbed completely in the deer, gone. In fact, to such an extent, it is described that he used to have deer over his back and he used to do worship. After some time, he stopped worshipping on him and started worshipping the deer, that is, serving the deer. And at the end of life, he remembers the deer. And it's an old fact to all the devotees. Whatever we remember at the time of death, that's what we become in the next life. Right? So in this way, we understand that when we are absorbed completely in those objects which are not related to Krishna, automatically we go away from bhakti. Now the solution, what is the solution for this? Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajanam. So this is a very important aspect which devotees have to take some proper decision in their life. Like for example, one of my students, he flew to US. Very nice student. And now whenever I am texting, no reply. It feels so bad to see. In fact, we had a long discussion when he was leaving. That I was saying that anyways you are earning very nicely here. Why you want to go to West? He said, no, Prabhu, it's very nice. There will be some risk in... There is the capability in people to take risk. I said, okay. But then why are you taking risk in your bhakti? Yes. And then, he was just talking about this. Then I understood he is very much attached to his work. And he wants to go. I said, okay, go. Now, the permission was given. And I guess permission is a roti with you. It's like he was decided he'll go anyways. Then just to have a bond. Then I said, okay, we'll talk over Skype, weekly once at least. And then he went there, texted diaries and things like that. Now there's no reply. Now it's an important question to all the devotees that, if things are okay here, why do we really have to go to a place where our bhakti will be in risk? Sometimes Vyasta devotees also shift. They will be staying close to the center and they'll shift to the native place. Why are you shifting to the native place? Oh, there I do nice bhakti. Tell me, kiske native place mein achha bhakti hota hai? We go home and there's so much of pampering. Even now when I go home, my mother is like, when I get up early, she'll say, "Arey, every day you get up early. Today you sleep." No. At least when you're at home, please sleep. Now this is like... So where is the question of progressing in bhakti when we take such wrong decisions in life? So there is no question of losing some time in bhakti. Right? Human life is very rare, very very rare. Usme, we do some time pass here and there, taking such wrong decisions. So it's very important to understand what is important for bhakti. We take that, and whenever we sacrifice anything for Krishna, Krishna favors that devotee. It is seen so nicely. The Srivast Chaitanya Prabhu, when I met him, one of the senior devotees, so we were talking to him and he was telling, so he is a very, very fired up devotee. Very nice creature, amazing creature. In fact, he created many, many bhakti rikshas in HBR layout area. So I was talking to him and I could understand his mode of preaching. He just wants to preach and do nothing. Yes. He was telling me that since he sacrifices so much, he didn't tell me that he sacrificed, but I could understand. He was telling me, Lord is so favorable. The Lord has favored me so much. He is working in Oracle. And he is the only person, it seems, that who is having work from home forever. Now, his work from home is very nice. He is currently in Chennai, not wrong, someplace, Trivandrum. So he was telling me, oh, I work from Mayapur, I work from Kerala, I work from Chennai.
Yes.
And takes care of Kerala Center. He comes here also. So when he's sacrificing so much, the lordships are favoring so much. And I could see that. I could see that he's so happy. He's a grasta having a kid. Everything is maintained so nicely. Right? So if you take a call in favor of the Lord or in favor of bhakti, not to be more precise, automatically things are taken care of. Automatically. There's no question that the person will be lost. No question about that. So this one important aspect devotees have to literally meditate on and take proper call when the decision is supposed to be made. Sometimes devotee boys, they have this question, especially during marriages, that Prabhu, my parents are forcing me a lot, Prabhu, to marry a non-devotee. So what do you say? Should I marry? Go get married. Go worry about why are you asking? Yes. It's a common sense that if a person marries a devotee, many of the problems will be solved. Right? At least there will be no fight on onion garlic. There will be no fight on why to go to temple and so on and so forth. In fact, yesterday one devotee was sharing his cell phone. He was sharing that one devotee got married to a non-devotee girl. And now she was a party lady, completely party lady. Yes, beauty parlor and party. So what happened is, he was not spending much time at home, it seems. And one day some relatives came at home and she cooked egg at home. Now you can imagine, devotee's house, non-veg is like, we cannot imagine also. There will be a bomb blast for sure. So when he came back, he got some obnoxious smell. He went to the kitchen, he saw this. And then he started asking his wife that, very well, you don't eat non-veg, right? You cook egg. So she says, see, relatives have come, and they're my relatives. And then I have to cook something for them, and they're non-vegetarians, so I cooked egg. Now what is the problem? So he started explaining, it's a problem, we shouldn't cook, and so on and so forth. This lady, she became so arrogant. She started throwing everything in the kitchen, it seems, here and there. She broke everything in the kitchen, it seems. And then she filed a case on the husband. And then he was put behind bars. Then this decision he should have taken before. And I was thinking, marry a devotee.
Yes.
So anyways, marrying, that's a different topic altogether. We'll not discuss much. But the point that I'm making is that wherever it is needed to be stern, wherever it is needed to be there with our own point, which is favorable to bhakti, that we have to do. Anukulyas sankalpa. And whatever is unfavorable, that has to be given up. Come what may. Yes. There shouldn't be any delay to give it up. If we delay giving up the things which are not favorable to Krishna consciousness, how can a devotee progress? How can a devotee progress? A very nice example Harichandra Prabhu gives in this context about a wood which is wet. Now suppose things are unfavorable and you're trying to practice bhakti, you're absorbed in things which are unfavorable and you're trying to practice bhakti. It's almost like lighting fire or trying to put fire on a wet wood. How will it be possible? How will the fire of bhakti go? Yes, not possible at all. So in this way we understand the solution is accept favorable and reject unfavorable. Or else it's very difficult to practice devotional service.
Right.
The fourth one is, what are the first three? First one? Kautilya or crookedness. Second? Ashraddha or faithlessness. And third one?
Sanskrit, anyone?
Even I have to see it. Bhagwan Dishta Chavaka Vastu Antar Abhinivesh. Faith in the Lord erodes and we get absorbed in the sense objects, which takes us away from the Lord. Fourth one, Bhakti Shaitilya. Efforts in devotional service become slackened. This is a very common thing. Now devotees will say, oh, I'm slackened now. What to do? Yes. So why this happens? A very nice analysis is given. When the person gets absorbed completely in the happiness and the stress of this world, all these things will come into picture. You see, any critical situation in our life, any situation for that matter, automatically bhakti goes down to a lower priority and that thing comes the first priority. Like we're talking about the tension when the person does not get a job. Or tension about another devotee was so tensed. I ask him, what happened to you? I'm not getting a proper match. And with your karma, it will come, why you have to worry so much? Why you have to worry so much? And the nouns are not going proper. You're skipping his noun and things like that. Yes. Unnecessary tension. Sometimes tension about health. So we had one cook, Ajay Prabhu. So Prabhu used to be always tense about him. Always. So whenever I used to ask him, what happened to Prabhu? I'm tensed. Now his tension, he used to describe. He used to say that, Prabhu, what if, I get cancer? I was cooking one day with him, he was asking, what if I get cancer? I said, why will you get cancer? No, what if I get cancer? What will happen? So, now, already there are so many problems in life, and we think so much about one song, this one, health, and what will happen in future. Obviously, bhakti will get affected, right? Obviously. Even while chanting, all these nonsensical thoughts will come. In fact, one article I had written long time back, may marry chanting or woe. So that article, I was talking about men, merry chanting and mind. So there we discussed about this particular aspect. That whenever we decide that we want to take a bhakti seriously, mind gives different ideas. How to skip that? Especially this I wrote because it was a very good realization. Every single semester I started practice in second semester of engineering. So every semester I will decide that next semester I'll do very nicely. I'll become very serious in bhakti. Very serious. Then third semester, fourth, like this, 8 semesters gone. And then I became a faculty in the same college. And then when I came to the same class where I should sit and teach, sit and learn. So when I came to that place to teach, so when I looked at the bench where I was sitting, it was really a striking realization that day. That you were sitting here and you were free like other students are, and now you're stuck. You have got so much of responsibility. You could have progressed so nicely at that time. Then that day I sat and I was analyzing. Now what was actually happening? Then I was thinking that yes, now the mind was telling next semester. Then I extrapolated this entire situation. Then during this period of professional exams and professional college, there's another tension. Oh, I could cry this. And all glory to parents. They put the people in more tension. Then you have to get a job. The person is in more tension. Or then I have to get a match. So the devotee feels that, oh, okay, maybe if I get married, I'll be happy. Yes, and the person gets married. Or now I don't have kids, so maybe if I have kids, I'll become happy. Next, and yes, devotional service I'll do later. Mind will give so many nice hints. Do it later. And finally, at the time of death, when the person is thinking, why I didn't do bhakti, at that time the mind will escape for sure. Yes, at that time mind will not be there to give reason why. So this wonderful aspect of how the mind tricks us has to be understood. Even now, even in Brahmachari Ashram, sometimes when I'm tired and I think that, okay, let me just relax for some time. Yes. So mind gives various ideas how to relax. Various ideas. Yes. Even in the ashram where we have to dedicate our life to Krishna, even there mind gives different ideas. Just imagine what will happen outside. So it's a very important aspect that in critical situations, for sure priorities will change, and we have to be very, very cautious about this. Now, in the critical situations, one important aspect, this is what is my meditation I'm just sharing. One important aspect is that no need to take anything seriously in this world. Tell me why. Why we should take anything serious in this world? I'm talking about material aspects, not bhakti. It is. Everything is temporary. Everything is. Oh my students have heard very many times. Everything is temporary. Yes, everything is temporary. Now, you see, a simple example. I was coming from Elangur. It was night and I was coming in cab. So, when I sat in the cab, I started. My sadhana was not done, so I was doing my sadhana. And the driver was driving, and a lot of traffic on the road, heavily, it was raining. So the driver said, sir, I want to share something. I said, okay, tell me. So he said, I'm very happy today. I said, okay, what happened? He said, from morning, I've got a lot of passengers today. I'm very, very happy. I've heard a lot today. So I said, oh, very nice. With that happy mood, he was talking to someone, sharing how many passengers came, what all, etc., etc. And then he was driving. He was driving in such a way that he went and bumped into another car. It was a proper accident. Now, anyways, I couldn't do anything. It's raining and you know, he went out fighting. I was busy doing my work. Yes, and then he came and then he said, sir, you have to get down. I said, no, you have to drop me. How can I get down? He said, no, in front everything is broken. I cannot drive this car. Then he gave me money and he said, okay. Then I took another cab. So when I sat in the cab, I again resumed my work. And then that cab driver again said, oh, sir, I want to share something. I said, what? I am very happy today. I said, what happened? Sir, there is no traffic on Kundanali signal. I said, whatever you drive properly. So when I got down from the car, when I was coming in the lift, sir, that time I was thinking that how, you know, everything is temporary. The happiness and distress, everything is temporary. The person who is so happy, you know, becomes so distressed, so distressed. Two of the distant relatives who fought, actually I've taken a lot of case studies just to, you know, make it more relevant. Two of my relatives, they fought like anything. Two females, they fought like anything. And I was there at that place. And the fight was like, I'll never see your face. That went for years together. Whenever we should go to this house, house A, that female A will describe about the female B. She's like this only, etc., etc. And then house B, female A, she'll describe about female. Now this went on to such an extent that they were not ready to attend any ceremonies which were happening on both the sides. Literally, you know, people from our side had to go and convince them, oh, please come, please come. Now, they have become best friends again. So when my mother was sharing this, I was thinking, hey, Baba, nothing is temporary. This female, nothing is permanent. These females gave such a nice, in front of the public, they said, never see your face, never see your face. And now, look at this. Another devotee, he was really frustrated with his parents fighting. So he came, and the frustration was not about the fighting. He was telling me that, Prabhu, they won't fight, and I won't. As a judge, and I try to solve. I take one person's side and the problem gets solved. And by evening, they'll be really very good friends. But I'll be the victim later. What should I do? Yes. So the point that I'm making here is that everything in this world is temporary. Sorry, permanent. So no need to take anything seriously. It will come and it will go. There's no question of taking it seriously. When you take things of this world seriously, we will for sure will see that our bhakti will go on reducing because of stupid reasons. This is very clearly seen that suppose there is a fight between two devotees. It's obviously a verbal fight, unfortunately. So when there's a verbal fight and some devotee offends some other devotee, that even chanting also, the mind is completely absorbed in how to fight next time. Yes? There have been times when devotees have shared, oh, this happened. Now, how can I deal with the situation? There's no question, leave it. Anyways, a devotee is immature, he'll get mature sometime later. He'll not remain like that permanently. Right? So if you can just meditate on this point that there's no need to become serious in any situation of life. Yes, material situations. Our devotional service will increase very nicely. Very nicely. Yes. So this is one aspect. So we've been discussing about the first one was in critical situations automatically some other things will take priority. The second aspect that we discussed was about no need to take things of this world seriously. And third aspect is one needs to understand the urgency. Yes. Only when you understand the urgency of devotional service you will be able to practice devotional service. Or this is not possible. In fact, you see this point of urgency here almost every single class, every single speaker will speak about this urgency. We have to be very much fired up in our devotional service. Anytime we can die. Parikshit Maharaj in 7 days, he knew he'll die in 7 days. And then what Khatwana Maharaj knew, next moment he'll die. You don't know when you will die, so you have to be fired up. So I was thinking, even after hearing all this, even after seeing people dying around, why is it that we don't become very fired up? Because the illusion energy of the Lord is so strong, and people around are so nice, they keep us in illusion always. Always. So recently it was my mother's birthday, so she called, I called to wish, and I asked, how old are you now? She said, 50. Yes, no. I said, oh my God, you'll die in next few years. my mother was telling me, you're the only person who reminds me about death. Yes. She was telling me, all other people tell that I look so young and I'll not live longer. You're the only one who is telling me. I said, hey, everyone is keeping in religion. Why are you being in religion?
Yes.
So we see this one wonderful aspect that every single person around us keeps us in illusion, except for devotees. Yes, devotees helps us to come to our reality. So this aspect of urgency can be understood when we are in the association of devotees. All of this is not possible, very difficult. Right? So what is the solution for this? For bhakti shaitirya, that is becoming slackened. Any solution which you can think of? No solution. Association, fired up devotees, yes. And learning to be focused. Learning to be focused in bhakti, yes, from those devotees. We can be in association of fired up devotees. High probability that we'll get burnt out. One of the important aspects is we have to learn of how to do focused bhakti like them. That is very important. You take the case of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was so focused to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He started from his house, he ran away from his house. Maybe someday we can take this pastime. He ran away from his house and he took a very, very difficult route. He didn't go by a road, he went through forest. He was so focused to meet Lord Chaitanya that he was not at all bothered about thirst, hunger. He was not at all bothered about the bruises that he was getting on his feet and the cuts that he was getting on his feet because of thorns and stones and other things. Can you imagine how focused Raghunath Das Goswami was? How focused? If any devotee is focused like this, how can he? Back in the forest thing, I want a big bhag here, let me sit for some time. He was so focused, he ran till he met Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Ravananda Rai, when he came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so focused and so much of hankering to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he had a nice talk. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, this is Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, that did you take darshan of Jagannath? And Ramananda Rai is saying, oh, I forgot, Jagannath is also there in Jagannath Puri. How focused these devotees are, how focused? When we are focused like this, then it is possible that slackening will be there, but it will be less. Not too much, too many spikes. And the fifth one and the last one, which Jiva Goswami mentions, is Bhaktyadi Kritadi Manitvam, puffed up by practicing bhakti. So this is very, very dangerous. Becoming proud because of the practice of bhakti. Sometimes we see, I think all of us might have experienced, I have experienced many times, that whenever we do some service, automatically feel, I am the one who has done this service, so nice and nice. If I wouldn't have been there, maybe the service wouldn't have happened. But then when we properly analyze, you know, if Prabhupada wouldn't have been there, we would have not been there in bhakti. Yes. It's because of Prabhupada, what he has created, and the guidance that we get from superiors, because of that, we are able to do some service. Or else, it's impossible. Impossible. What talk about service? Chanting rounds will become difficult. So, how can we take credit for ourselves? And Prabhupada used to be very heavy. Whenever he used to see some devotee getting puffed up, he'll use a pin and nicely make a hole at the water. Once Mataji was making samosas. Prabhupada disciple, she was making samosas. That was for journey, train journey of Prabhupada. So she was making samosas and Prabhupada likes samosas, if I'm not wrong. And those samosas were fried in ghee. Hot samosas, she was removing and she was keeping. Prabhupada came to the kitchen and saw that samosas are made. And he took one samosa and he started eating. Now he took one samosa, then he took another one, then next, and like this, the description is given that he ate 20. This only Prabhupada can do. This only Prabhupada can do. Now on this, Mataji was making samosa and she was very happy that Prabhupada has liked my cooking, it's so nice. Then she went to Prabhupada and she asked this question. Prabhupada, according to you, who is the best cook? Now the answer she was expecting is obviously you. Yes. Prabhupada looked at her and he said, only me. Prabhupada never liked his disciples becoming puffed up because of practicing bhakti. Once Guru Kripa Prabhu, another Prabhupada disciple, I think he got a lot of donation for the Vrindavan temple. A lot of donation. And he was thinking that, I've done a good service. It's very nice. So Prabhupada, he got to know. When we deal with our spiritual masters, they easily understand that they're puffed up with something. Then one night, Prabhupada was translating book 1 a.m. at night. Prabhupada called for Guru Kripa Prabhu. Please come. Yes. And then Prabhupada asked, what are you doing? Prabhupada, I was sleeping. Why were you sleeping? What will answer was? So he said, Prabhupada, I was tired. So, and it's night, so we have to sleep. So I was sleeping. But I'm not sleeping. I'm translating book. Then he said, Prabhupada, you're Paramahamsa. You can do anything. Then Prabhupada said, why are you not Paramahamsa? Now there's no question what can he speak? Then finally he submitted himself to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, please tell me what can I do at this middle of the night? Prabhupada said, go and sleep. So Prabhupada very nicely pull people down, very nicely. But this is a very important aspect to understand, that what should we do when we are really puffed up? Or when we really feel that we have done the service. One important solution that our superiors give, that we have heard very nicely in the various scriptures, is whatever service we do, if we can pass on the credits of the service to our superiors and Guru Parampara as a whole, we'll be safe. We'll not get stuck in this problem of becoming proud because of bhakti. In fact, other things, at least, we can understand, but when we become proud because of our devotional service, it's very, very dangerous because we'll not be able to understand them. Yes? All glories to Jiva Goswami. When I was hearing this class, I got this 5 points and read an article also about this. I was feeling so nice that how our acharyas have given so systematically everything, where all we can get stuck. Very nicely they have given. Right? Can we repeat these 5 points? First one? Kaudalya or crookedness. Second? Ashraddha, faithlessness. Third? Bhagavan Nishtha Chavaka. Vastu Atta Abhinivesh. Yes, that is the faith in the Lord erodes and that leads to absorption in the material objects. Fourth, bhakti shaitalya or slackening in devotional service. And fifth, the last one is bhaktyadi kritadi manitvam. That is becoming proud because of bhakti, because of devotional service. All these are problems, all these are contaminations. Not only this, a lot of things may be inside. And our acharyas, they give so nicely. Everything is given so nicely. Prabhuji was sharing from the book called Manashiksha. That so nicely everything is given, that which all places we can get stuck. But one common solution to all the problems, all the contamination that we have in our heart, is this, that we have to glorify Krishna profusely. Whenever possible, yes. Chant the holy names whenever possible. This we have been hearing. I think from the day one we have been hearing this particular aspect, right? And a praman for this is from Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 8th chapter, 5th verse. I think I have quoted this sloka almost in all my classes till now.
Yes.
Let's chant the sloka. Pravishtha karana randrena Smanam bhava sarovruham Dunoti shamanam krishna Shailasya yathasharat. This talks about how can we actually get rid of these anarthas which are there inside us. Only by hearing. Only by hearing, what will happen? Pravishta karana randrena. When we hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glorify Him profusely, Lord enters our ears. Pravishta karana randrena. What He does? Dunoti shamanam krishna. He removes all the mala that is there in the heart. He cleans. And then He sits on the heart. Now just imagine when Krishna sits in the heart, that hollowness that we just discussed at the start of the class, where that hollowness will remain? Krishna is infinite. Krishna is infinite. And automatically get rid of all these anarthas which we have. Right? We have spoken a lot about so much of analysis today. So we, can we take 10 minutes to glorify Krishna? No, I mean, we have a lot of people in Shiksha.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, then we'll end here, no? Because that will take time. Only one shloka will chant and we'll end the session. It's not 5 minutes, I'll take. Okay. Glorification of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami are relishing. Relishing like anything. They're relishing about the form of the Lord. And now you see how they're describing the form of the Lord and how they're relishing. Please hear this very carefully. Kama Gayatri Mantra Rupa Hai Krishna Swarupa Sada Chabrisa Akshara Tarahaya Se Akshara Chandrahaya Krishna Kari Udaya Trijagata Kaila Kama Maya. So here, the words that are in the relishing is this. Here, the Lord Shri is saying, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that Krishna, he's actually equivalent to Kama Gayatri. So the ones who are Brahman Dikshit, they get, you know, 7 mantras to chant. And the last one is this, Kama Gayatri. So Kama Gayatri has got 24 and a half syllables. So here this verse says that as Kama Gayatri is composed of 24 and a half syllables, similarly, Lord Krishna is composed of 24 and a half modes. Now what is this 24 and a half modes? Then they start describing, how come 24 and a half modes? Sakhi hai Krishna Mukha Dvija Raja Raja Krishna Vapu Simhasane Vashi Rajas Chasane Kare Sange Chandre Rasamaja. So he's saying, hey Sakhi, Krishna Mukha, Krishna's face is like the moon. And this moon is the king. Dvija Raj. Dvija Raj is moon because it has two phases. King of moons. So the face is king of moons, and where is it residing? Where what is Simhasan for the king? The Simhasan is the entire form of the Lord. So on this body, the face is there. On the Simhasan, this face is there. Now the question is, what is this king doing? This king is ruling a kingdom of many, many moons. Now, what do you mean by many, many moons? Where are these moons located? Yes. So we understood the first moon. Yes, that is face. Second, Duri Ganda Chuki Suchikana Jini Mani Darpana Sei Duri Purna Chandra Jani Lalate Ashtami Indu Tahate Chandana Bindu Sei Eka Purna Chandra Mani. So here it is described. What are the other moons that we are talking about? Duri Ganda Suchikana. They are talking about the cheeks of the Lord. Now these two cheeks, it is described as full moons. And it is described like Mani Darpan. They are very, very shiny. In fact, it is described in some pastimes that when Gopas wanted to see how they are looking, they would go closer to Krishna and they would see their face in the cheeks of Krishna. And they would dress themselves very nicely. That's how shiny Krishna's cheeks are. Now, okay, we understood that these are two cheeks and these are two moons. So three moons, the face and two cheeks. Now, what about the next? Lalate Ashtami Indu. This lalata or the forehead which is there, it is like Ashtami Indu. That is half moon. So on the day of Ashtami, when we see out, it will be a half moon. So this is half moon. So we have 3.5 moons till now. Next one he says, Tahate, on the forehead, Chandana Bindu. Krishna is putting a nice round chandan. We have heard this shloka. Kasturi tilakam lalaka patale vakshasthale kaustubham nasagrevar mauktikam karatale venam kare kankanam sarvange hari chandanam sulalitam kanthe cha muktavali gopastri parveshito vijayate gopala chudamani. So here it talks about kasturi tilakam, the round tilak. Now it's Krishna push. So it is said that Krishna is a very, very fashionable person. I was hearing one class and what all fashion he does. Now that was described in them. Dhoti that he wears, he doesn't wear just like what we wear. This is one of the times that he wears it seems. There are many, many different ways in which he'll tuck his dhoti. And there are different tilaks also that he puts, not just this one. And one of them is round tilak. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that this round tilak, even that is one chandra. Okay. How many chandras till now?
4.5.
4.5. Okay. people are awake. Next. Now he's talking about the other 20 and he finishes. He says,
Kara nakha chandera hata, vamshi upa kare nata, tara gita mura rila tana, pada nakha chandra gana, tale kara nartana, nupurera dhvani yara gana.
Here he's saying, Kara nakha chandera. He's saying that these nakha, which are there, the 10 nails of Krishna's hands, they are the 10 moons. Now, what are these 10 moons doing? Now, there's a king who is there. So, someone has to help the king to enjoy. Yes. So, these moons which are there, these moons are dancing. How are they dancing? They're dancing on the Venu. Oh, sorry, Vamshi. They're dancing on the beautiful flute of Krishna. But now, for dancing, you need some music. What is that music? The sound coming from the flute. Next, he talks about other 10 moons. He says, Pada Nakha Chandra Gana. In the lotus feet, there are another 10 moons. Now, these 10 moons are also dancing. Where are they dancing? They're dancing on the ground. But now the question is, they're dancing on which music? Like the nails of the fingers. They were dancing on the Vamshi music or the Vamshi tune. They are dancing on which tune? They are dancing on the dhun or the tune of Nupura, the ankle bells that Krishna is wearing. So in this way, you know, it is said that these are the 24 and a half moons. So we saw who are the ones who are actually helping this king to relish. The first moon was? Face. Second? Two cheeks. Then?
Forehead.
Then? Tilak. Next? The 10 nails and? In the fingers and 10 nails in the feet. Now we understood that who are helping the king to enjoy. But who are the ministers of this king? Someone will minister also, right? Is given. Nache makara kundala netra, nache makara kundala netra lila kamala, vilasi raja satata nachaya, bruhu dhanu netra bana, dhanur guna duvikana, nari mana laksha vindetaya. So here it is given. Nache makara kundala. This king who is there, he is Vilasi Raja. Very nice enjoyer. And he wants enjoyment always. So what he does, Satatana Chaya, he makes everyone dance. So we saw that, no, 10 fingers of the hand and 10 fingers of the feet are already dancing. He is also making the kundal that he is wearing to dance. Then he says, who are the minister? He says, minister is Netra Leela Kamal. The beautiful eyes of Krishna are actually the ministers. And what are these ministers doing? They're taking care that nicely shoot every single devotee who is coming in front. Now how to shoot with the devotees? How to shoot? You need some arrows also. You need a bow. So arrows are the eyes and the bow is the eyebrows. But where are the string? The string is tied to the ears. String is tied to the ears. But then finally, the last shloka at the end of it is this. Please chant. Madhuram Madhuram Mapurasya Vibho. Madhuram Madhuram Madanam Madhuram. Madhu Gandhi Vridham Smitam Etat Aho. Madhuram 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 Madhuram. Very nice shloka, very easy to answer to my heart. Yes. Here it is said, in the entire body of Krishna, which is the most beautiful thing? First it says, Madhuram Madhuram Vapurasya Vibhor. The entire body of the Lord is very, very beautiful. And in that, Madhuram Madhuram Vadana Madhuram, the face is very, very beautiful. But it doesn't end here. Madhu Gandhi Mridu Smitam. On that face, there's a slight smile on Krishna's face. And that smile is even more sweeter. And Lord is not ending this. He's just going on saying, Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. Yes. Just imagine how amazing this is. But then when especially when I hear all these things, I feel very much depressed thinking that even when the Lord form is so beautiful, why there is no attraction? You properly analyze, we are very, very stuck in lower natures. We are just fighting with our lower natures. I don't know when we'll be able to go, you know, towards the Lord. Only solution that our superiors give is this, that uninterrupted and sincere absorption in devotional service. Only that can help us, and the immense mercy that will flow from our superiors, Guru and Gauranga. Only then it is possible that we will be able to relish this wonderful form of the Lord, which consists of 24 and a half moons. Thank you very much, and thank you for giving me time. I took exactly 5 minutes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.